Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Random conversations, not sure what episode, but be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Bye.
You know, if you read the show notes, you'd know exactly what episode it is.
Oh, I didn't see it at the top of the, you're right. I was looking, normally I see it on the.
No, say that first part again.
I didn't see it at the top.
No, the one after that.
Oh, the fact I said you're right?
Yes.
You need that. There you go. You need that.
No, I know I you need it. That. I know you don't like to.
You do. The words you're right is your spinach. It gets your Popeye on if someone says you're right.
We have company. Please stop acting out. What are you doing? Look, we're not going to keep you guys waiting because we're really very honored to have a very special guest today, opera singer, model, actor, and executive director of the BLAC. That's the Black Leadership Arts Collective. Allison Cambridge from King's Court. How are you, Allison?
Hey. Hi, guys. It's so good to see you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
We are very excited to have you here. You know, obviously, we've got to start with the elephant in the room, right? And that's the fact that while we're doing it, when you first appeared on King's Court, in the live crew, and the live crew, they say any and everything. And of course, the first thing that popped up was, well, baby Vanessa Williams. I know it's not the first time you've heard it, right?
No. To be fair, I've probably been hearing that since I was about 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I live in New York now. I've been here for, I don't know, like 23 years or so. I probably get stopped on the street or get told that I look like her at least three times a week.
Wow.
So it's par for the course. And actually, she and I have met.
Oh,
and
nice.
It was a little bit like when we first met, it was a little bit like looking in a mirror. Because we did look so much alike and we both sort of acknowledged that.
Yeah.
Were you surprised how much you looked alike?
Absolutely. Because I was doing a television show. I was actually doing Law and Order with one of her colleagues, Norm Lewis, who's a wonderful, fantastic Broadway actor. And he's like, okay. He's like looking at me. He's like, okay, I've got to say it. You look like my best friend. And I was like, I know who your best friend is and I'm aware. He goes, have you guys ever met? I said, no. He goes, come to my concert with her next week. I'm going to introduce you. And we both sort of had this like, oh my God.
Spider-Man me.
Either way, I take it as a compliment. And she was a huge inspiration for me growing up, truly, because frankly, there was nobody that looked like me on television, you know, like in the 80s and the 90s.
Right.
And so to see somebody who I was like, oh my gosh, I could be like her. And, you know, when she was Miss America and the whole thing and then became a singer and an actress, she was very inspirational to me. So,
That's really good. I mean, I've had people say I look like certain folks, and I had someone that told me
haven't.
I had someone that told me I look like Chris Rock, and I was like, wait, New Jack City Chris Rock? Or like Bigger Blacker Chris Rock? Because those are two very different folks, and that would always bother me that they said Chris Rock.
Did that person like you? That's the question.
I don't know. I'm going to have to lean towards no.
Yeah, sometimes people should just keep the opinions and the comparisons to themselves, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, we were introduced to you with King's Court, and the first question I really got to ask is, like, what did your friends and family, especially your dad, who we understand is a big fan not only of the show but of the pod, when you told them you were doing the show and when they actually saw you on the show, what did they say?
Yeah, so, yes, my dad is a huge fan of you guys, for sure. So, you know, I didn't even tell them I was planning or considering doing the show, frankly, until I got the official call that was like, you are cast.
Right.
And then I kind of asked for their blessing, really, because I think when you go on a reality television show, there is so much that is unknown, and especially of this genre where it's very much about who you are as a person.
Yeah.
It's not like a challenge show or a, you know what I mean? It's like, what about Allison, her love life, what she's looking for, personal stuff, family stuff? Like you get into that when you're going to be dating somebody potentially. And so I called my parents and my brother and I said, hey guys, I have this opportunity. What do you think? And they were like, yeah, we're not surprised that you have this opportunity. Like, you have a kind of wacky life anyway, as a performer. And they're like, if you want to do it, we fully support you. So yeah, so I got their blessing and they've enjoyed watching all the episodes. And my dad texts me in real time, all of his comments and feedback. He's very opinionated. My family's had fun with it.
So here's the question, though, because you've done TV, you've done movies, you've done theater, right? But what's the difference in doing reality TV? Because especially reality dating TV, were you nervous about this part of it?
I wouldn't say that I was nervous. I'm used to being on a stage or in front of the camera. So that part didn't make me nervous. I think the only thing was the unknown.
Right.
You know, as the process is from the start to finish, there's so much that we don't know. We didn't know who the three guys were. I did not know until they walked through that door on the Perfect Match.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
We didn't even know what that was until we got there, until we literally got on set. And I was like, oh, here's a girl named Jennifer. Here's a woman named Kalia. And I'm in my black cocktail dress. They're like, okay, ladies, so this is the premise of today. And we're like, we had no clue. I think that's the only thing that can be slightly nerve-wracking. And even what we would do day to day, it's like find out the night before. It's like, okay, and tomorrow is a pool party. And good morning, ladies. And today we're going to a vineyard. You know, that's the only part that can maybe get you a little bit off kilter. And then in terms of it being like a love and romance potential show, I don't know. I just went into it completely open to the experience. Whatever happened, happened. Whatever didn't. That was my philosophy on the whole thing.
God, I'm a planner. So I'd be like, how do I pack for this? Like,
we did get a packing list.
Okay. I was about to say, how do I pack for something like this?
Well, I definitely came with two extra suitcases, more than we were allowed. But I was like, I got to have all my options.
Just in case.
Yeah. Just in case. Never know.
Yeah.
So in that process, you were introduced by the matchmaker to Tyson Beckford, right? But when the three of them walked in, did you think that he would be the match for you?
Oh, I had no idea. I really didn't. So I just saw these three guys walk in, and I don't know if you could tell from how it was shot, but they were at the opposite end of like the lounge bar area. And the first woman was Jennifer. The second woman was Kalia. And then I was the third woman.
Right.
And so they sort of went around all three of them together and introduced themselves. And then we did basically, speed dating, right? And everybody was changing places. I didn't know. I just, with each guy, I was like, oh, he's really interesting. I like this about that person. Oh, he's very nice and calm. And I like that about that person. And when I met Tyson, I think it was very clear, even just the little bit that they show, you know, oh my gosh, we have so much in common. I mean, it was like freaky. I mean, we've worked with some of the same people. We have some of the same friends. Our industries overlap. We both have, you know, Caribbean heritage, mixed backgrounds. He happens to love opera. What? So I knew that on paper, he and I had a lot in common. But energy wise, I thought maybe I could have maybe been a match for Carlos. I just thought he was so like grounded, mature. He didn't seem the least bit fazed by this fact that, oh, you're meeting three women so late into the process. Even though, of course, I found out he had Janae.
That's all right.
He walked in. I was like, oh, so that's locked down. Okay. but no, I found his energy just to be very mature. And so I thought, that could be a good match for me energy wise.
I could totally see that because I really liked Carlos out of this. You've heard what I've said had to say about Tyson, but I really like Carlos throughout this. But for you, being an opera singer with a distinct lifestyle and just different things that you've been exposed to, how comfortable were you in the house with everyone else?
You mean the ladies?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, I got along with the ladies. I mean, I was very comfortable with them. To be honest, I felt an energy when the three of us walked in that was a bit like, who the heck are they? And I did not know until watching the show back, I didn't know that they'd been given such a anxiety-ridden setup for us to come in. I didn't realize the matchmaker had gone to the house and was like, get ready, ladies, the perfect match. Like, I would have freaked out too, maybe. I don't know. But honestly, I one of the ladies like gave us a tour of the house. And then I was just sort of sitting by the island in the kitchen and just started chatting with the ladies. There was another New Yorker, a couple other singers, and we just started getting to know each other. So I personally wasn't fazed. I don't know how they felt about me, but I was comfortable and I'm a social person anyway. And a friendly person. So, yeah.
Yeah, I saw some of your IG videos where the ladies seemed like y'all were just having fun outside of the filming.
Yes.
So curious, on the elimination dinner night that you were invited to.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts when Tyson said that you were so elegant that he didn't know how to approach you? How did you receive that?
Okay. That's a multi-layered answer. So I think you can see in the show, you can see the skepticism on my face. Even if you don't know me, I have such an expressive face. And I was like, I didn't know where that was coming from. And I can say this now, and I think it's pretty clear because you see it in my confessionals. I was constantly surprised that I had not been brought to elimination dinners. I was constantly surprised that I was still there.
Yeah.
Because while I got along with all the ladies, had a blast, got along with all the guys, it was very apparent to me that it was friend vibes with Tyson.
Right. Mm.
That was clear to me from pretty much from jump. And so when we're, I don't know, however many episodes into it, however many weeks, and then he was like, oh, it's that I don't know how to approach you, but I am interested in you. And, you know, he's like, I've noticed all these different things about you. I was very, as I said on the show, I was very taken aback. I was like, where is this coming from? Because I get homie vibes from you. And we would even talk about, oh, yeah, when this is all over. Oh, yeah, if you come to New York for Fashion Week. Yeah, we'll go to some shows together. Oh, when you're down in Miami, oh, we'll go to do this together. Right. But it was not romantic. That's not how I felt. So that's why I was so like, where is this coming from? And so when Holly asked me the next day, did you think it was performative? I thought that was a great word for it. I was like, I think it could be performative. I'm not quite sure really what your intentions are or why I am still here. I mean, I'm happy to be there because it's fun. And I'm having a great time and I'm open if something could potentially grow. But I was kind of confused by that response.
So since you were not surprised that you'd still been there, but you did say that you still never really viewed the other women as competition. Why?
Me?
Yeah.
No, but I also don't think they viewed me that way either. Mm. I think because I don't know. First of all, it's just not my style to be, for lack of a better term, it's not my style to chase. Right. But I don't think that's the style of the majority of the women on the show. Mm. That being said, I understood that this was King's Court and it's about the guys and that the whole dynamic is totally unconventional. Right. So I was personally willing to be like, you know what? I'm just going to do me. I'm not going to chase, but I will hang back. I'll observe. And if I happen to catch the eye of somebody, you know, across the pool, and he wants to walk over and be like, hey, you want to go grab a margarita? Sure. Let's go do that. Right. You know, that was my way of being in the house. I think because it was sort of clear that I wasn't gunning for one of the guys so specifically, I think that disarmed the ladies towards me. And so we could just sort of have fun together. And I don't think there was an intimidation factor.
My wife said, hey, make sure you ask Allison this, right? Watch the scavenger hunt. We're watching it. And all of a sudden you leave because somebody on this podcast said, hey, so you got to know when to hold it.
I heard somebody say, it's her age. Watch that blend. I was like, what's wrong? But it was funny. It's funny.
When you watched it back, I saw what happened while you were gone with Tyson and Felicia. Did that? What did you think?
Okay, let's be real here. You guys, we saw it. You saw it on screen, and you only saw a fraction of it, right? Mm-hmm. They were very physical all the time. So it was just par for the course. I wasn't surprised. It didn't offend me in any way. You know, they were holding hands pretty much the entire time when we were driving around. But I stand by this. That was one of my favorite days of the entire experience because we got to be out of the house. We got to be driving around doing something fun. It was like a gross rainy day, but it didn't matter because we were all in it together and just like laughing and conversing. It was fun. Were they making out a lot? Sure. I didn't care.
You pointed out something on that scavenger hunt too. And you said, you know, they have great chemistry, but obviously they don't talk. And I'm not a dog person, but I felt it when they started talking about the dogs. And I'm like, how did they not have this conversation?
Yeah, it really surprised me, especially because like Tyson is such a dog person. Mm-hmm. I mean, he mentions different dogs like throughout, right? I think he talked in one of the first episodes about how heartbroken he was that an ex's new guy was walking his dog or something.
Yes.
And Tyson and I one-on-one had other conversations about dogs.
Yeah.
And we weren't romantically linked. So I was like, how come she doesn't know? But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they had other conversations and they got to know each other on a deeper level. Just within the confines of that G-Wagon, I was confused. I didn't see it.
See, this is why I couldn't make it on a reality dating show. Because I'm like, wait, you want to kiss me? I just saw you kissing Yanni just now. No. we're not doing all that. I don't know what you think's happening. Not on my watch. I'm not doing that.
Well, no, there's no, yeah.
What are some things that we didn't get a chance to see on TV? Like one thing I noticed about the show, it edits really hard. Mm-hmm. And we watch a lot of different reality shows and the editing in this, it's so much stuff that's missed. Some of the conversations doesn't seem like they really flow because they've edited it out. So it's always interesting to ask for someone that was there, what are some things that happened that we didn't get a chance to see on TV?
You know, I'll speak to what was, for me, obviously the most dramatic episode, which was episode 9.
Yeah.
Without going too much into what wasn't shown, I will just say, like in terms of like an editing, which I think some people commented, it didn't quite make sense. You see that uncomfortable conversation between myself, Tyson, and the Peets, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see us walk into the house and I know he's mad. Even if they cut out stuff, I think it was very apparent he was seething. He was really, really upset. I already knew, how do I say this? I already knew what I wanted to do and what my future would be, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I desire to no longer really be in the process, right?
Right.
That being said, up until that point, Tyson and I had been cool. So you see me like rubbing his back and kind of being like, hey, I don't want you to be upset. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to be mad. I let him know that I had not spoken with his other two like real love interests. I said, that's not for me. I'm not here to start stuff. That's not, you know. And then you see it kind of cuts out.
Right.
Right. And then it goes to him speaking with the ladies. And then there's a shot of me. You can see that I'm upset and I'm speaking with Janae. And some people are like, why is this lady crying over Tyson? You know, she didn't watch me with me and my daughter. So just to fill in the gaps, I will just say in general, that entire day was very exhausting. Mm-hmm. And there was the emotions and the tension were not just between myself and Tyson. It overtook the entire house.
Wow.
And it really, and you know, there were the different interviews that were going on throughout the morning, the afternoon, and into the evening. And there was sort of this like dark tension cloud that was hanging over the house. So when you see me speaking to Janae, you guys, I was exhausted. It wasn't about Tyson. It was about, can this just be done?
Right.
It was more out of like frustration. And we've just been like, I didn't mean it for it to be like this big of a thing. I said what I said. I heard what I heard. I just wanted to be over with. That's what that moment with Janae was. It wasn't about Tyson's mad.
That's exactly what it looked like, though. But okay, now looking back at it, though, do you understand why? And do you think, okay, maybe you should have gone to him first instead of in front of the Pete's?
I will say this again, without saying things I can't say, that was not an option. That was not really an option for me that day. Mm-hmm. And like I said, everybody was doing their little couple interviews throughout. And then in between, people were going to like check a mic pack, fix makeup, do whatever.
Right.
There wasn't really a perfect time to pull him to be alone and to have that. It just wasn't there. And throughout the process, I observed and figured out and was also told that Tyson had a very close relationship with the Peets and really respected them. Mm. I had seen how he had sort of handled difficult moments with some of the other ladies. I knew that there was the potential for it to get nasty.
Right.
Which I didn't want. And I felt in a way that bringing it up privately outside of the house in that private conversation with the Peets, that it might just be a little bit smoother and calmer, which kind of it was.
Yeah.
Until we got back in the house.
Yeah. You can see the respect he has for the Peets and
that part.
Just when he's sitting with them. You now that you say it, it's really obvious because it looked like Holly Robinson Pete was almost disappointed in him.
the whole conversation, you guys, was just really awkward and uncomfortable for all four of us.
Right.
You know, I could see that Holly was upset. Obviously Tyson was upset. I feel like Rodney actually was, he didn't say much in that cut, but Rodney was very much trying to be even-keeled peacekeeper. He really was. It was just a really difficult, awkward conversation for everybody.
Can I say though, I know I asked, you know, if you thought about actually having that conversation privately. I'm glad you didn't, because that's what we wanted to see.
Well, you would have got a performative response. So.
Right. No, I don't think, I think if we'd had that conversation in private, I don't think I would have got a response at all.
Right. Mm.
I don't. I think it would have been like, what are you talking about? Kind of like a get out of my face. It would not have gone the way it did with the Peets. It would have gone differently for sure.
So you had said that one of your favorite moments on the show was the scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
And I totally get it. Getting out the house and driving around. Looking back at the show, is there anything you'd do differently? If you had a second shot, if you can go back in time and start this over, what would you do different?
Oh, gosh. I don't know that I'd do a ton differently. To be honest, I was just so myself. Like, what you saw, like, that's me. that's 100% me. Yes, of course, there's cuts and splices and edits and all that kind of stuff. But if the words came out of my mouth, I said it.
Yeah.
You know, and I stand by it. I don't know that I would have done much differently because I showed up as myself. You know, I would say one thing that disappointed, I don't know what the right word is the very ending and my departure. I guess what was shown is not what was necessarily felt, the sentiment in real time. Mm-hmm. You know, my bags were packed. I showed up at coffee to let him know I'm going.
Oh, so he didn't bring your bags. You brought them.
My bags had been packed, you guys. My bags are packed. And I think in terms of what the audience saw at home, if you're really watching, you can see me coming in and trying to be extremely nice and gracious and let him know that I felt that what had transpired that day for me was just all sort of trust and respect had been lost. And there was, even for me in a friendship, because like I said, we had talked about a friendship beyond the house.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what happened that day for me just even crushed that. Mm-hmm. And it didn't feel right for me to even to continue to be in that environment with that level of that dynamic and lack of trust and respect between us. Yeah. So you can see, I'm trying to say that in the nicest of ways. And, you know, he kind of starts cutting me off and whatnot. I don't even remember him saying that you're not my queen line. I don't remember that even happening. Right. It was, you know, I let him know. But you know, you got to get the tagline in there or whatever.
Of course. Yeah, I've only just overdubbed this.
So at first when I saw that, I was like, wait, that's not how that went down. You know, whatever it, you know, it's TV, it is what it is. But I maintained my character and my integrity throughout. So I can't say that I really regret anything.
They try to make it get that little tagline in because Tyson, I think, was Idolwise that he talked into staying just so he could eliminate her. And that was like, she wanted to leave. He's like, no, don't go. Then you're not my queen.
Yeah, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And poor Idolwise, not poor Idolwise. First of all, she's fabulous. I love her. We had so much fun together. She was really this like bright, shining, effervescent light that was in the house. She's terrific. And I very much felt for her because I remember the night that she wanted to go home. I remember all of us like talking to her and, you know, cheering her up. And then the next day, her being like, wait a minute. They convinced me to stay and I'm still feeling like I'm being ignored. And then sure enough, the next night
she was gone.
And I was like, oh my gosh, what are we doing here, folks? What are we doing?
Speaking of shining lights, like not a lot of people who go on reality TV shows, whether it's dating shows or just lifestyle, get to show exactly what they want to or their true skills. And you got to, especially in the talent show night. Now, was that you or was that the producers with the talent show?
No, if it was the producers, I didn't know. Tyson and I had actually spoken about that, doing a talent show like two other times before. He had mentioned it because actually, I think it was the first night we met. He said something about, oh, yeah, there's other singers in the house. And then at some point in our little speed date, then he goes, oh, you know what? We're going to have a talent show. Okay. And then it came up again in another conversation. And then he brought it up a third time when we were sitting outside having that talk about how Trevor liked me or whatever. Right. And he's like, oh, yeah, we still got to do the talent show. And he's like, let's do it tonight. So that's something, that, honestly, that we had talked about a couple of times. If the producers told him to say that, I didn't know that. It felt completely organic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And me and the ladies, we had so much fun planning it because the guys were out of the house that whole day. They were out doing, I think, you know, photo shoots or something. And so it was just the ladies in the house. And we were just kikiing and planning our different fun acts that we were going to do. And yeah, it was a great day. And I was happy to be able to show a little opera on Bravo.
Real opera. There you go.
Yeah.
It's, and considering the, where the three of you that came in together, right? With Kalia, Jennifer, and yourself. And Jennifer, we knew immediately that there's chemistry was there with Tyson. And we also knew immediately that there was friendship vibes between you and Tyson, as we can see it on TV. Yep. And I know you said that Carlos had a calming energy. Was there ever a thought, maybe I should maybe pursue one of these other kings?
I wouldn't say pursue. Okay, so I'll say with Thaddeus, immediate brother-sister vibes. Mm-hmm. We fist bumped like within the first 2 minutes of us on our speed date. That was just, that was our energy. I would say no, because like as soon as we got into the house, it was just really clear. I mean, you guys saw it. We walked into the house and immediately Carlos and Janae went out, I think, to the fire pit or something. And the rest of us ladies were like, okay. that's what's happening there. And honestly, I didn't really talk to Carlos that much throughout the process. We had one conversation that was like in the little dressing room area.
Right.
I guess it was the day after the pool party. And he asked me something about music. And it was just he and I in that dressing room. And we had a lovely conversation about music and our favorite artists. But again, I thought the same thing that I thought the first night I met him. I was like, oh, he's so lovely. So nice.
Yeah.
With him. But no, we didn't get to know each other in that way. And I'm thrilled for him and Janae because I adore them both and I adore them as a couple. And I mean, I already told them, guys, I'm your wedding singer. So what's gonna happen
there? So since the show's aired, notice a shift in the DMs?
Yes. Yes.
Don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to share any.
No, I've gotten some very nice, some very nice DMs for sure. For sure.
Okay. See, now, you don't really hear that often. I've got some nice ones.
No, seriously, though, everybody that has slid into the DMs has been so respectful. And very gentlemanly in terms of what they've written. It's, you know, they've watched the show. They're very complimentary sort of about how I carry myself. And so they've seemed to be matching that energy in how they're approaching me. So everybody's been like really nice, really, really nice.
Well, that's good. Cause you know, I met my wife and that said she slid into my DMs and she will deny it till the day we both
really?
Are gone. She'll deny it, but because she's like, well, you like my story first. Well, she just said, welcome to Detroit. That's how the conversation began.
That's all it takes? Okay.
That's all it took.
And a cute, the conversation cute profile starts? Picture.
Well, yeah, but that helped too. That helped. And then actual real conversation. So it's all of that.
Nice. Oh, I love that. Oh, that's so great.
Thank you. What advice or words of wisdom would you impart on anyone who's trying to date, say, a high profile celebrity?
Okay. I will speak for, not that I'm a high profile celebrity, but as I mentioned, the lifestyle that I lead is very similar to the guys, right? You can't live in jealousy. Jealousy is, it's just not going to work. You know, we're constantly being pushed and pulled by like different people needing and wanting our attention and to be on, you know, like if we're going to an event or something, we're there working.
Right.
You know, if I'm at an opening night of an opera, for example, I just got off that stage. I just sang an opera and now I'm at an opening night event. Let's say with all the board members, the major donors, the head of the company, XYZ, fans, all that kind of stuff. I'm Allison Cambridge, the opera singer that is representing the company that I just sang for. I can't necessarily that's not necessarily a time where I can be like, girlfriend, wife, right. Like, oh, sweetie, meow, meow, meow. No, yeah. You know, yeah. And then it's like, when the event's over, then you can switch that off.
Right.
But I do think that that is hard for some people to realize. And it goes both ways, men and women.
Yeah.
And I would say getting used to, so jealousy, no, understanding that there's kind of an on-off switch with respect to whatever the career is.
Right.
And if the person has to travel a lot, finding a way to stay connected, really connected beyond just texting and stuff, and really making that time to feel like you're fully engaged with the person, even if they're thousands of miles away. Right. Yeah. And then talking openly and honestly about what you expect from that relationship. You know, there are some people who it's really important for them to see their partner every single day.
Right.
And to make sure that they come home and it's like, you know, we're having dinner together, we're doing this. And that is very rarely the case for any type of celebrity. It's just a different, it's just not a normal life. It's, right. You know,
I got a panic attack just hearing that. I'm like, oh, every day, dinner at 7. No, I can't do
it. No. Well, you hear about these couples now that are like living in separate houses, even if they're like live in the same city. They're like, no, you got your house over there. That's down the street.
Sign me up. I would get married. You keep your house. I keep my house. We hang out 3 nights a week, maybe 4. And then I can have some alone time. I mean, I think that is a wonderful bargain. Wonderful deal.
You know why? Because he doesn't want to hear you singing in the house all the time.
Oh, I caught your shade, by the way.
You what?
I caught your shade. I don't know. You're going down there like, which girl can sing? He's like, Allison. Nah, she'd be singing all the time.
It's kind of a joke to like, I think we were talking about Mariah Carey a long time ago, and I was like, I couldn't deal with all that singing that Mariah Carey be doing in the house. And so I've always kind of had that little thing about people.
No, he's serious.
You're good. Great. But there's a studio. Go in the studio, close the door, and you let it out and you have a ball, but I'm in here watching the game. I don't need to.
A separate warm-up and practice room is definitely necessary. It's definitely necessary. See? For sure.
Allison, it's been a pleasure having you on. But before we let you go, I want to do a quick rapid fire this or that.
Okay.
Tyson's confidence or Carlos's calming energy?
Carlos. Calming energy. But also there's a difference between confidence and arrogance and bravado.
That's touché.
Two different things. Yeah.
Very true.
Opera night at the Met. Or dive bar karaoke night?
Oh my God, do you guys know me? I can't pick because I do both
really?
With my friends in New York all the time.
Wow.
All the time. That is a 50-50 split. I'll take
50-50 split.
Okay, we can take that. We can take that. Spontaneous weekend getaway or planned luxury vacation?
I'd say the luxury vacation, but then once you get there, spontaneity within the day.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
I like.
But you like to have a plan of some kind.
I would. Like
I'm a planner, so I'm just thinking.
Yeah, I would like to. I would like to know like where I'm going in general, and I would love for it to be like luxurious and amazing. But like once we're there, let's say we go to the Amalfi Coast, and I'm like, let's just go and explore today. Once we're there.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Bold romantic gesture or subtle, consistent effort?
Oh. That's tough.
And not because he did something wrong.
Right. You know, I'm going to say subtle, consistent effort.
New York City skyline views or the Caribbean sunsets?
You guys, why are you doing this to me?
Can't make it easy.
Oh, man. You're asking this Caribbean girl. I'm going to say New York.
Really?
Only because I grew up going to Barbados every summer. That's like my second home.
Yeah.
And after a couple of weeks, I loved it, but then I would kind of always crave getting back to.
It's funny, that's how I feel about New York.
A lot of people feel that way. A lot of people feel that way. I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Okay. I would pick New York because I was there about a month ago and loved it. It was my first time. So
really?
I had a ball. Yeah, I had a ball.
Until he goes back again.
Square, I hope.
Huh?
I hope you didn't go to Times Square.
No.
Okay, good. See,
No. I didn't do Times Square. I walked around on my own, just got lost. Grand Central Station, Empire State Building. That $100 to tour that thing, it's way overpriced. But it was great. The Macy's with the big, piano deal. And
yeah.
I just jumped on subways and got lost in Brooklyn somehow. Don't know how I got there, but
came back with your wallet. That's good.
There's so many beautiful things to see in New York. And you can experience so many different, like, I live on the Upper West Side, which is lots of parks, trees. It feels very neighborhoody. And then you can go down to Lower East Side and it's much more gritty. And there's so many different parts of New York. You can have many different experiences here.
Love at first sight or slow burn romance?
I'm a slow burn. But, but I have had like lightning strike me like twice. And I ended up with those people for a very long time and engaged to one where it was like, I saw that person and I was like, him.
That's exactly how I felt when my wife walked in the restaurant. I was like, don't mess this up.
Look, sometimes it can happen.
Yeah.
Chemistry is real. You cannot manufacture it. You can't manufacture it. But in general, in relationships, I'm a slow burn. Yeah.
Got it. So, and I think I know the answer to this based on what you had said earlier about dating high profile celebrities. Public display of affection or private moments only?
You can find time for both. Hmm. I think you need to be really subtle and respectful if it's in public. If you are doing something that is public. Whatever, if you're going to a baseball game or you're just doing a normal thing, hold hands, make out on the street, who cares? But if you're at an event, no, you can't be doing that stuff.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, and last one. And this is for you. Would you date the high profile celebrity or Earl, the electrician?
I don't discriminate. I've dated a range. I've dated some high profile people. And I've dated totally normal people. So for me, it's really about that connection. And I think I said, I don't know if it made it to any of the confessionals, but I was asked what do I look for? And I really love somebody that challenges me, intellectually, that I'm curious about them. They're curious about me. I feel like I can learn something from them and I'm not bored. Of course, looks and chemistry that matters. But I need that, that spark that keeps my mind excited as rest along with everything else for me to be interested in somebody.
Right. Before I let you go, quick, you mentioned it a couple times, being West Indian. Which island? Is it Barbados?
No, so Barbados was our home country, but my father is originally from Guyana.
Oh, okay.
Makes sense. So I'm half Guyanese. I'm half Guyanese. Yeah.
Nice.
That's the Caribbean there.
Yeah. Well, Allison, thank you for coming on, blessing us and gracing us with your presence. It has been an absolute pleasure, seriously.
Thank you guys so much. You're amazing. You're fantastic. You have a new fan in me, in my dad, in my friends. I'm a loyal, loyal fan. And thank you for all of your fantastic, humorous, but honest reviews of the entire season. I appreciate you guys.